in the country, we're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country, leave your worries behind. There's lots of fun for everyone, the best in music too. Spend some time in the country, we've been waiting here for you. Here in the country, waiting here for you.
Live from Ontario and heard around the world, welcome to In the Country with Dave Woods. This is the place for up-close and personal interviews, as well as great country music from our featured guests. So sit back and relax. Today's show starts right now.
Born in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, and now living in Ottawa, country artist Drake Jensen is about to make a significant impact at country radio and with country fans. His debut album is entitled On My Way to Finding You, produced in Nashville by Kim Copeland. Drake is getting set for the worldwide release this Monday of the very first single from the album called Wash Me Away. He's here to share that song and to talk about the making of the album, songwriting, musical influences, and much more. My pleasure to welcome on the line from Ottawa, Drake Jensen. Hey, Drake.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Very excited. Very, very excited. With the release coming up, I can't tell you how much, actually.
It must be something to have the final product now in your hands and ready to go to radio and all the work that has gone in it. How does it feel to be at this point now?
I think, you know, all of my life I've wanted to get to this point. And I've had lots of false starts. This was one of the times in my life that I just knew it was going to happen. Everything just lined up. I met the right people, came in contact, of course, with Kim Copeland, who was so integral in finding that very special sound that she managed to help me capture on the album. And I think once that happened, I knew that we were in for some great things. And I think it has a lot to do with all of the great people that have been working with us.
It's so important for a producer to help you find your voice, isn't it? Because it's one thing to be able to sing, but when they can find that part of you that is going to make you an artist.
It's interesting that you bring this up because it was one of my biggest struggles, and I think it's probably one of the biggest struggles for anybody, because Kim Copeland asked me a very interesting question a day before we went into the studio. She said, Drake, she said, what do you really want to be? She said, do you want to be a great singer or do you want to be a great artist? And I thought it was
right.
Like one of these 1, 2, 3 trick questions. And I said, okay, Drake, I said, how are you going to answer this one? So I said, Kim, I said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, I'll tell you what. She said, I can get anybody in, she said, in Nashville to sing these songs, she said, and do an amazing job of them. But you got to make me feel them. And I think from that perspective, I was always worried about the technicality of the voice rather than the feeling. And once I got into my head that it's about the feeling, it's about delivery, and about touching people, which is about what I'm all about. I'm all about communicating the message. And once she got that into my head, the whole thing was very, very simple. You know, it was a lot of work, of course, but simple to deliver once you get the fact that you need to approach it from an artist's standpoint.
Yeah, because
so I think that was really important.
Yeah, as listeners, we want to hear an artist who puts that emotion into it, because a song can be well sung technically, but without that extra emotion in there to push it a little further, it just doesn't have the same effect.
No, I fully agree. Maybe 5 years ago, and maybe this is why things happen as they do, I would have said, no, I want to be technically a great singer, which is sometimes if you don't focus on that and focus more about what you're really trying to say. Because being in the studio is a very different environment because you're singing into a microphone. There's nobody reacting to what you're doing. So
right.
I got an interesting piece of advice from a friend of mine. And what he did was he told me, he said, what you have to picture is that close your eyes and picture that everybody's behind that microphone. So that's what I managed to do, and I pictured everybody, and some of the people that, you know, have brought me this far and all the people that I love so much, and I pictured them behind the microphone, and it worked for me so well. You know, I was able to really capture almost like that kind of live feel that I would get when I'd sing live. So it was a great experience that way.
Now, as far as choosing songs for the album, I know a couple of them are ones you had a hand in songwriting, and yeah. There are a bunch on there from other hit makers from various places. How many demos did you listen to before choosing on the outside songs?
We were sent lots of demos, and, you know, the interesting thing about listening when people pitch songs to you is that, you know, they can be really great songs, and I'm not, you know, I don't want to downplay anybody by saying, oh, we listened to 100 and we only picked 10. The thing is that from a singer's perspective, or an artist's perspective, rather, keeping in line with what we just spoke about, you know, right. There's certain things that will touch you, and it has to touch you. I had to have that, like, that hair stand up on the back of my neck kind of feel. And once I got that, I knew it was like, okay, this is. We would go through like songs and songs, and there was certain special songs, like the one that Rachel Williams was featured on, very special song. And when I heard it, I'll never forget. It was 12 o'clock in the night, and I listened to this song, and I was like, oh my God, I was so excited. I was like, we have to do this song, and it's slightly controversial, and I just thought to myself, we got to do it. And it was one of those songs that you just know right away. So it was like, you know, we listened to a lot, yes, but the ones that we knew we were going to record and include on the album, we knew them right away. We didn't second guess on anything. So it happened very quickly that way. So we probably listened to about, I'd say about 100 songs altogether.
Wow. And as far as the ones that you wrote, were those both songs that you wrote with your producer, Kim?
Yeah, I wrote two with Kim. There's a funny story behind this, and Kim brought. I went down to meet Kim in Nashville in December, and she said, I wanted to go down and meet her because I don't think you can really work with somebody and create something as beautiful as an album project without really getting to know that person first. So I went down there and talked to Kim, and Kim said, Drake, it's really great that we got lots of songs that you're going to record, but why don't you try songwriting? I said, well, it's been a while since I've done it. I said, I really don't want. She said, listen. She said, just come down for a couple of days. She said, we'll spend a couple of days together, and I bet you we're going to come up with something. She said, I really want you to have something that you've written on your first album. I said, okay. So I go down in January, and within 2 hours, 3 hours, we had one of the songs written, the both of us. She came up with a chorus. I come up with the lyrics, and I walked in, and she said, what do you think of this? And I said, oh, that's awesome. She said, can you write verses to it? I said, yeah, sure. So we sat down within 2 hours, and she looked at me at the end of it, and she said, Drake, it's not always this easy. So I thought it was going to be a really difficult process, and Kim made it such a wonderful process for me. Kim is a wonderful lady for any independent artist to go work with. I mean, I just can't say enough for her.
And as I mentioned to you before we came on, it's a very small world because Kim produced the jingle that opens up our show, and Rachel Williams sings on it. And as you mentioned, Rachel is on your album, which is terrific. Real small world in the music area.
You don't realize how really small it is. You know, it's one of those things. And being from Cape Breton, you know, I'm always bumping in or hearing about people that have promoted other people from Cape Breton, and it's a big family thing. It's really, really nice, actually.
Now, who are some of your influences growing up when you were listening to music? Who are those artists that shape your sound and inspired you to become an artist?
I listened. My parents were they listened to a lot of John Denver, you know. And I remember, you know, it's one of those things. And I believe that some of us, you know, you're born, and some kids know exactly what they want to do. Well, I was 4 years old, I was graduating from nursery school, and for as funny as this story is, everybody had to do this little thing on stage, and of course me, I wanted to sing. And they asked me what I wanted to sing. Well, I wanted to sing Country Roads. And to this day, to my mom, who's probably listening, hi mom, she says to me, she still makes fun of me, and she laughs, she said, you couldn't even pronounce the word, she said, and you were singing it. You know, so John Denver was a huge one, Dave, like really big influence on me. There's a sincerity, and if you really want to talk about artistic, if you listen to John Denver deliver some of his songs, I mean, you just, if you listen to any song, if that doesn't drive you, like, you know, to the point of like overbearing emotion, you know, there's something wrong. I mean, John Denver just had this wonderful, he had a magic, right?
So there was John Denver.
Yeah, yeah. And then there was George Strait, because I remember hearing Amarillo by Morning, and I love Amarillo by Morning. I think it's an amazing song. And I think the true test of an artist, this is what I like about these artists, is that, you know, he could do Amarillo by Morning, and then 20 years later, he turns around and does a song like Run, which is a totally
right.
different sound. You know, he's really morphed with the time. Like, George Strait is one of those people that has changed. And that's what Steven Tyler made a point with on American Idol one night I was watching. He said, the true measure of an artist is the fact that they can change and morph. And I
right.
think we should never, from my point of view, Dave, now this is my point of view, I'm not speaking for anybody else. I constantly want to do things that are different. I don't want to do the status quo, and I don't want to be pigeonholed into saying, well, this is one genre and this is all he does. You know, because I think that that would be bad for me. I'm a typical Aries. I need change all the time. So like, it can be bad to deal with sometimes, but, you know, I think it's a good thing, and it keeps people interested. But as far as influences, John Denver, George Strait, I love Reba McEntire. And then came Garth Brooks. And I think Garth Brooks changed the world for me. You know, I think Garth was one of my biggest influences, I still think. And I can go back and listen to Garth Brooks' first album, and I can still, like, totally immerse myself in that album, because I remember listening to it on a cassette tape in my parents' car. So it was a real great thing for me, you know, and I really love Garth, and I think Garth has managed to create himself. He's just a supernova. You know, he's one of those people that's just huge, and you mention his name, and even if you don't like country music, you know who Garth Brooks is.
That's
you
right.
know? So those are my biggest influences. You know, those were my biggest ones for sure.
Now, I was also interested to read that, I guess it was back a few years back, I don't have the date right in front of me, but you recorded an Ann Murray song. Now, I love Ann Murray, and this is one of my favorites of hers, although I have many, but A Little Good News. What made you choose to record that song at the time? It's a terrific song, and the message still resonates today.
A Little Good News. It's funny, I was speaking with my manager, Sean Morin, about that. And we talked about it extensively. A Little Good News I chose, I love Ann Murray too, you know, and I think Ann Murray is one of those stellar artists. And, of course, she's from Nova Scotia, and it's so, you know, pride-bearing to be able to say, you know, Ann Murray's from Nova Scotia. And she came from the same background I came from, small coal mining town, you know. It was one of those things, and I always listened to Ann Murray, and A Little Good News was one of those songs that gripped me, and I remember it when I was young. I remember when it was first released off of the album A Little Good News. And I said, I want to do something. I didn't quite, you know, because when you first start out, you don't have these contacts and you don't get songs pitched to you like I have for the new album. So I chose this, and I said, I'm going to test radio with this in 2002. And we decided to record this song. And the interesting thing about it is I actually recorded that song at Lakewind Sound in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, with Fred Lavery producing. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, everybody would be familiar with Carrie Underwood's Jesus Take the Wheel. And Gordy Sampson wrote Jesus Take the Wheel, and he owns part of that studio. So that's where I recorded that song. And I went into the studio a month before we started to record. And, you know, we went through it and set the date. And it was 2 days after at 9/11. That we recorded that song, and the musicians were coming in and looking at me saying, the session musicians were coming in saying, this is, you know, an interesting time to record this song. You were quick at this one. And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, didn't you just decide to record it right away because of what just happened? I said, no, absolutely not. And my producer looked at it and said, no, we had this booked a month ago. And it was interesting that it came out at that time. It was my first time ever in a studio that size. The process was great, and Lakewind Sound is a great studio also. And it was a good venue for me. It was a good venture because it got a fair amount of radio play in Cape Breton Island. One thing about Cape Bretoners, they stick together, and they played me a lot. And I'll never forget the first time I heard it on radio. It was at 5 to 6 right before the news at home, and the news was cast, and 5 after 6 they played it again. And so it was amazing. It was the first time I'd ever heard myself on the radio. And for me, you know, it was a very humbling experience. So A Little Good News, I think eventually you may see A Little Good News down the road surge again, maybe on some type of, I'd love to say, greatest hits album. So
I like that.
I think you'll, yeah, I think you're probably going to see that again from Drake Jensen. I think that I'll do that again because it's just such a great song and everybody loves it.
It is. Great song, great message. Let's turn to another great song. And in fact, this is your first single from the album. The worldwide release is on Monday, May the 9th. And Cameron Tilbury, I know, has a big big deal behind that. Tell us about the song. Now, this was written by Mike McGuire of the group Shenandoah, the drummer from the group.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that Mike McGuire wrote the song, but also it was Mark Normore along with him. So it was co-written. And a lot of the, you'll notice that a lot of the great songs are, they got two or three writers on them, and it's because people brainstorm. And I know what happens, because Kim Copeland and I did the same thing. Even though I felt very intimidated going in thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to collaborate with this person. But actually, when you get in a room with somebody, it's, how many times have you heard that cliche, like two heads are better than one? And it's so absolutely true when you get the synchronistic energy going on and then one thing leads to another. And a song like Wash Me Away, I mean, you take two people like Mike McGuire and Mark Normore. Mike McGuire, like you say, from Shenandoah, an amazing guy. He called me one night at 6 o'clock in the night, and the office was closed at the Soaring Eagle Productions office. And I was just sitting there at the computer finishing up some business. The phone rang, and I didn't even answer the phone saying, good evening, this is Soaring Eagle Productions. May I help you? I just said hello. And it was him on the other end, and he just called and raved about and said, you know, about the song and la, la, la. It was such a great moment for me to talk to him because I remember Shenandoah. And he said to me, and Mike said to me, and this is one of the things that humbled me totally. He said, this song sounds like I wrote it for you. He said, and I've just listened to it for the fourth time. And when he said that,
amazing.
I said to myself, yeah, like it just totally blew me away. And I was so humbled by that. I hung up the phone and I called my mother right away. And I said, you never guessed. I said, who I was just talking to. And, you know, and she's like totally ecstatic with the whole thing. So she's probably sitting on the other end laughing, listening to me talk. So, but Wash Me Away is a great song. And the first time I listened to that song, it's so high energy. And the message is great in that song, and it's a message for anybody that's listening. It's not, you know, I'm one of these people, and you'll notice as we release more and more and more, is that I want to appeal the music to as many people as I possibly can. I want to make sure that the message is very open and that everybody can interpret it in their own way, and that is so very important to me as an artist. So Wash Me Away was one of those songs that I think anybody could listen to and think, yeah, I've been there before. With that said, that's why it's the first single. It's just one of those songs.
Definitely, and it's from your album, On My Way to Finding You, and the song is about to be released worldwide this Monday, so we have a great chance here to talk with Drake and to share the music a bit ahead of everyone else. A great honor. Let's share the song now. This is Drake Jensen and Wash Me Away here on In the Country.
At the end of their rope, and I don't know why there's winners. why there's losers, but you sure have got a mighty good heart. My heart's been like a desert, just a dry, parched piece of land. Your love is the ocean to this soul.
Jensen, originally from Nova Scotia, now living in Ottawa, the very first single from his upcoming album, and that is called Wash Me Away, here on In the Country. Great song, Drake, great meaning in it as well. How does it feel singing that one?
That was one of those songs that, you know, and like I said before, it was really easy to sing, Dave. You know, it was one of those things, how many people feel that way? You know, how many times do you feel just totally depleted? I mean, it's one of those things, and you just want someone to come and just, you know, it's the old Calgon take me away thing, right? You know, and that's the way that song is, and it was like, and that's what was kind of sticking in my mind. It's like, you know, this, it's about this water coming in and just pulling you out, and you're just freeing you. And it was very easy to communicate that message. And I think Kim Copeland said that this will be a Drake Jensen anthem song, and I can't agree with her anymore, because it just makes me feel good, so good to sing it, and I hope, yeah, hopefully that when we get the show out live that, you know, we're going to be able to get that across to the audience.
And Drake, at this particular moment, I've got a bit of a surprise for you and for our listeners. We're going to take a call direct from Nashville and speak with Kim Copeland. Hey, Kim.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Oh my God.
Hey, Drake. We're missing you here, man.
Hey, Kim. How are you?
Good to hear your voice. Great to hear the song.
It's so good to hear you, Kim. My gosh. Yeah. My God, Dave. Like, this is, like, unreal. God.
This is
so cool. Thank you so much.
Kim, can you tell us
Dave, for allowing me to call in.
Oh, my pleasure, Kim. A delight to speak with you. And can you tell us a little bit about working with Drake and just that whole experience?
Terrible. I don't recommend it for anyone. I got to tell you, it's one of the most inspirational things I've ever done. He is just, I still think of this as an inspirational album, not because of the material on the album, but because of the amazing growth spiritually, you know, just opening up that we had during the process of making this. I think every song on there is one that's heartfelt and has a special meaning to Drake and to me, and will touch the audience. And so it's an album that you can't help but grow listening to. You can't help but have fun, and you can't help but reflect. And what more can you ask from an album?
And we talked earlier at the beginning of the show about being a singer versus being an artist, and Drake mentioned that you had touched on that. What makes Drake a great artist, and what is going to sort of set him apart once he hits the country music scene?
Well, I think the first thing is there are a lot of good singers out there, and he's certainly a great singer as well. But the artist has to have an audio image. They have to have something that really signifies the heart and soul of who they are, as opposed to just singing a song. They have to deliver a message. And I think that's what he does so well. Number one, he interprets the songs. He internalizes them and interprets them so well. And then he's able to relay that to an audience. He's able to share that emotional experience with them. And, you know, that's what it's all about. We listen to music and we want to feel something. It has to move us. It's an emotional exchange between the audience and the artist. And he's just got this natural ability to do it. And there's, you know, I've heard this said about a few artists since I've been in Nashville, which is a good long while, and Garth Brooks was one of them that hit me. You know, he's not the most talented singer in the world, but he really knew how to hold an audience in the palm of his hand, and it's all about the emotional delivery. I think Drake has that too. He is a good singer, but he's also a great interpreter and deliverer of emotion.
And Drake, how did you find working with Kim? What did she bring out in you in the studio that gave it that little bit of magic?
Be nice now.
I'm going to be real nice, Miss Kim, I promise. No, you know what? I'm still just reveling about the whole Garth Brooks comparison. Can I just revel in that for about 5 minutes? Let me just put everything on hold. Okay. No,
after you're off the air.
Okay. All right. See, she's still kicking me. I'm not even down in Nashville. Like, you know, that's one thing about Kim. She knows how to get the job done. I went down to meet Kim Copeland, and I walked into her office, and I don't know whether you remember Kim or not what I said to you. I said, you know, I don't have any huge aspirations on, you know, I don't want to be a rock star or nothing, but you know, I just want to be an artist. And I think Kim got to know me over that course of that weekend and then the time we wrote together. I think that what's great about you, Kim, is the fact that you can tailor everything to the individual person. And I think that's exactly what you did with me, is that you tailored it so well that it almost felt like I was working with somebody that was a lot like me, that it was on the exact same mission, that wanted to get the same message out there with the same feeling. And I think out of anybody I've ever worked with in the music business, and it's, I've been around for 20 years playing, and I've worked with a lot of people, and I don't think that anybody has touched me and like you have, and was able to bring that out in me. And I hope for many years to come we'll be able to work together again. But it was a wonderful experience, and you know, and I can't thank you enough. I'll thank you before, but there's not enough words to say thank you for everything that you've done for me so far.
Well,
so
thank
I think
you, Drake.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I feel the
well
same
deserved.
Way about you, man. And it was just such a—I don't know how else to say it—such an enlightening and spiritual growth. I think for both of us, getting to know the songs, getting to know each other musically, and you know, I pushed him out of his comfort zone some. But the whole thing is that we explored together, and I think we both left the project bigger people than we came into it, and that's. That's what it's all about.
Do each of you have a favorite song from the album?
You go first, Drake.
My favorite song. Oh, my God. Do you know how hard this is to say this? They are all, because they are so different, it's almost like saying which one is my favorite friend, you know, because I have all these different friends, and I have them all for different reasons, because they're all beautiful people. They're all beautiful songs. But if I was to come down to it, the one that I love the most is It's Not About Me Anymore. Because the reason why, and you know this, Kim, I've said this, and this is a song, It's Not About Me Anymore is a wonderful song. It was written by Jason James Jones, Rachel Williams, and Kim herself. And it was like one of those songs when I listened to it, the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and it was like, oh, my God, this I have to do. And the reason why is because it's really not about me as an artist. What I really want to do is get out there and touch people, so it's about everybody else. So that's why it's so important to me, that song. So I don't know. Now you go, Kim. We'll put you on the spot.
Well, I think that every song has its own personality, and every song is favorite to me in a different way. Wash Me Away, I love, because it is a stadium anthem song. It's one that people cannot help but get caught up in, sing along with, and just love. And I love your interpretation of It's Not About Me Anymore. I like the one that we're talking about, y'all are talking about for the next single is All You Need. I love that one because it's very simple. It's very kind of your version of George Strait meets Garth Brooks in it, but the message is so true and honest and simple. So I like that one a lot. I mean, it's like every cut on here has a special purpose and a reason for being. So
right.
I know that's not a simple answer, but there isn't one. I love them.
No, exactly.
No,
it's so hard. Even as listeners, it's hard to choose a favorite song because the next one becomes your favorite in a lot of cases.
Yeah, as it should.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, Kim. Just to add to that, what Kim just said about that song. You know, All You Need was a very special song because it was one of the first that Kim and I wrote together. And I got an email on it, Kim, the other day, and I know I haven't spoke to you much because it's been so crazy for both of us. But this lady said she's a good relative of ours and a close relative, and I let her hear it, and she came back to me and said, "I'm going to get married," she said, "and we are going to waltz to that."
Oh, that's awesome.
And I thought, yeah, and I thought to myself, I said, that's such a huge compliment. You know, and I sent her an email.
That's why you do what you do, Drake.
Yeah, well, you know.
That is amazing.
It was, yeah.
Sorry
it was
to
a great
in,
email.
But I'm glad you guys, you're glad that both of you brought up that song because that is actually the one I'm going to be playing in just a moment so our listeners will be able to hear exactly what both Kim and Drake have talked about. We'll play the song in a moment. And I'll just thank you now, Kim, so much for coming on and spending the time, and, of course, you and Drake having a chance to connect again.
Well, Dave, thank you for all you do, and thank you for allowing us to connect on your show. And Drake,
yeah.
Love you, man. Take care and have fun.
Enjoy
the ride.
Love you too, Kim. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
It's been great.
Bye.
Kim Copeland joining us on the line from Nashville, the producer of Drake's album. And so we're going to share the song now. And once again, Drake, this is a song that you and Kim wrote together.
Yeah. Yeah. I walked into Kim's office, and she said, "I got a chorus." She said, "What do you think of this?" And I said, she said, "That's exactly what she said." "Well, I got a chorus." She said, "What do you think of this?" I said, "Well," she played it for me. I said, "I think that's awesome." She said, "You write the verses." I said, "Okay, so that's what we've done." And All You Need was born.
Perfect. I'll share it now. This is Drake Jensen. He joins us on the line from Ottawa. And All You Need here on In the Country. Thinking of me, forever and always. Country artist Drake Jensen, and that'll possibly be the second single from the album. The album is called On My Way to Finding You, and that is All You Need, co-written along with Kim Copeland, his producer, who joined us a few moments ago on the line from Nashville. And that is a great song. It is just great emotion in it, and just kind of an easygoing song that just it feels good to listen to.
Yeah, it's one of those songs, and again, it's I think it's something that anybody can relate to. I mean, when I listen to that song, I mean, what I get, the way I feel about All You Need is I want to give back to all these wonderful people who have helped me even get this far, because it is a very difficult road as an independent artist, and most independent artists that are probably listening are bobbing their heads and going, yes, it is. And, I, you know, it's all these people like Kim Copeland and Cameron Tilbury, and now we have Deborah Wood on board from Canada, who's going to be my Canadian publicist, and, of course, all the people that were responsible for the images. I mean, the Drake Jensen images are amazing. I mean, my graphic design artist from Imogen Creatives, Jillian Fitzgibbon, was amazing in this process. So that song is, hopefully I'll be able to give back everything that I've been given, you know, and I think that's what All You Need is about for me anyway, you know.
That's great. And the website is drakejensen.ca. You can head to there and check it out. And Drake, when is the album going to be available for purchase online or in stores?
The end of May. It will be on iTunes and CD Baby.
Good.
That's what we're, yeah, so it'll be available there. You'll be able to purchase it. You'll also be able to purchase it on my website. So people can go to the website and have a look there. The website's one of those things that's really cool, and it's very vintage, and that's I love vintage things.
Yeah.
And the website was just given these wonderful images by a photographer in Toronto, Kenny Lee. And then it was taken the next step by Imogen Creatives, and she was just amazing. She put this website together. So everybody go have a look at the website. It's such a, you know, she created a work of art with the website. And you'll be able to buy the album there, and hopefully some T-shirts and stuff like that a little bit later on, but that's all to come.
Nice. And once again, it's drakejensen.ca. Now, Drake, what is it like for our listeners to go see you in concert? What kinds of things do you do? Do you talk a lot? Do you cover classic songs?
I'm a Cape Bretoner, and one thing I love to talk, you know, it's one of those things that's almost like I got to tell myself every once in a while, okay, this is about singing, not talking, so close your mouth. But, you know, the one thing about it is I never want to talk too much because I think it's nice to give people a little insight into a song or whatever. But I think the best way to touch somebody is to sing it and then allow them to interpret it. So by, you know, communicating with the audience, saying hello, having fun, is one thing. But as far as the song goes, I would rather leave the song sit where it should be in the music, allow people right. in the audience to interpret the song their way before I'm not going to say poison them with my ideas on it, but give them my idea, my interpretation of it, because that's what video does in essence. Is sometimes video gives you too much of an idea of what a song is, and once you see the video, it's like, oh, every time you hear the song, that's how you interpret it.
Right.
So I think live, yeah, you have to be careful. My version of things is I'd rather sing it and sing it with heart and then let them interpret it. I think that's the best. That's what they're going to get when they come see me live.
I like that because certain songs can be interpreted so differently by different people, and they might take it to heart for different reasons. And that's just as valid for each different reason. But so it's nice to keep it open like that.
Absolutely. That's one thing people will find in my music from this album on through to any other album that I record is that this music is going to be meant for everybody. And I was very, very specific about that in the beginning. So you're going to be able to, a man, a woman, it doesn't matter, is going to be able to drive down the road and listen to this stuff, hopefully on your radio soon, and say, oh, I can put myself there, or I was there once. And I think that's so important in the music. Because music is for everybody, Dave. You know, you can't leave anybody out, man. You know?
That's right, that's right. Is there a song on the album that moves you when you sing it? There's a lot that are your favorite, I know, but is there one in particular that almost maybe wells up a tear in your eye as you perform it?
You know, it's not about me. I'm going to go back to it's not about me anymore, because it's just, and I know you don't have it to play, but this will kind of make it, give some anticipation for everybody. But It's Not About Me Anymore is this huge ballad. And the, when I first heard it, I kind of thought Lone Star is what I, remember when Lone Star came out with Amazed?
Yeah, big song.
Yeah, it's Not About Me Anymore is like Amazed. And it's one of these huge songs, and it just speaks of this person falling in love or doing whatever, and then it's not about you. Or when you have children, it's not about you anymore. Or when you get your first dog, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Sometimes you just indulge yourself into things in life, and you totally become selfless, and you forget about yourself so much, and you give so much that you capture the other person, and this is how people fall in love, or their dog falls. It doesn't matter, whatever it is, whatever you relate it to. It's Not About Me Anymore is about one of those things. And like I said before, I really feel like this is a wonderful venture for me, and it's my dream come true, and it's just the start of it. But It's Not About Me Anymore is one of those songs that really says it to me. And it's like, you know what? It's not about you anymore, Drake. You need to get out there, and you need to touch people. And I believe that that's my mission, and that's going to be one of my biggest things to aspire to over the next 10 years.
That's excellent. It's good to look that far down the road, because you want to do that and sort of see where you're headed. What about if we took that into little goals for the year we're in now, 2011? What would you like to accomplish this year? What one goal as far as your career goes?
I think, you know, and I spoke to my Canadian publicist today, Debbie Wood, who's an amazing lady. And, you know, we talked today, and I said to her, you know, I'm not one of these people that's, you know, having a midlife crisis and needs to be a rock star. That's not what I want to do. You know, I just want to have, my goal if this year is to become, you know, just a really great artist and get better and better all the time. And I think that's the only thing I can really ask for. That's the only thing I ask of myself, is to constantly improve. You know, it's one thing that I think that everybody needs to do. But me, myself, if you're to ask me what my goal is to every day enjoy every step of this journey, because it's not the destination for me. It's experiences like what just happened just now when you got Kim Copeland on the phone. and I just revisited it in my recording session with her. And that's what it's about. It's about every day's journey. And every day I want it to get a little bit better. And if that happens, then I guess then my goals by the end of 2011 would have happened. But, you know, some moderate radio play and things like that, it's all going to be great. I think you're going to see some Drake Jensen live shows this year. So that's going to be great. So that's basically my goal. My goal is to constantly improve, you know, and whatever happens during that journey is what is meant to happen to me as an artist. So that's my answer to that question. You know, I just want to keep improving.
That's awesome. Yep. Great answer. And that'll wrap things up for us here. Drake, been such a pleasure having you on, sharing the new songs. Very exciting knowing you got them ahead of the worldwide release. And a big thank you to everybody who helped set up the interview. And, of course, Kim Copeland from Nashville joining us on the show. And, of course, the biggest thank you to you, Drake. Thanks so much for coming on. Been really enjoyable.
Thank you, Dave, very much. And I look forward to speaking with you again.
I do as well, and I know the album On My Way to Finding You is going to do extremely well. And once again, our listeners can follow your journey at drakejensen.ca. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.
Spend some time in the country. We're glad that you dropped by. Spend some time in the country. Leave your worries behind. There's lots of